You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Love Talk Live. I'm your host, Jamie Bronstein, and today I have with me Immy Tarek. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I'm excited.
I'm so excited also. You guys, this man is mad. That's all I have to say. I mean, you guys are going to learn so much about him, but he's very special. You are very special.
Thank you. I don't think so, but... Okay.
You are. You really are just this unique unicorn of a man. Okay. So before we get into... We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about business. But let me tell you guys just a little bit about Immy before I ask him a million questions. So Immy Tarek is the CEO of Web Matrix Group and is a number one Wall Street Journal best-selling author. He specializes in helping people build brands that can be monetized whilst building trust. He lives in Florida with his four cats. Okay, so I love you. Your cats must be very special to you.
They are very special to me. I love them.
What are their names?
Ash, Chu, like Ash and Pikachu from Pokemon. And then Kiko and Arya.
Aw, very sweet. Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about about what you do for people, your business, how you got here? And then I want to hear about your book, and then we'll get into some relationship tips. Hold on, everybody, just get through the, I mean, my audience is mostly relationship people, but he has an amazing business and he has an amazing inspirational book. And then this man, I don't think I've ever spoken to any man ever that has the best relationship tips in the world. Okay, so take it away.
Okay. So about my business, what I do is I help people build digital footprints out. Because the first thing anyone will look at, whether you're doing business with them, friendships, or even prospective dating, is they're going to look you up on Google or social media. They want to see what you are like on the web, everywhere, and even do background checks on you even. So even if you don't know what you come up in background checks and then do basic reports, it's important to know, because if you've got something negative, you want to clear it out beforehand, because you don't want someone's first impression to be something negative. You should bring it up depending on the situation, like especially with a partner or potential partner, you just show that. But if a client, you don't need them to have all your laundry, basically, which is often in background reports. So my thing is clear out everything, build your word the first perception to give yourself the foot in the door to earn someone's trust and see how you can basically do what you need to do to help them scale.
Okay, and you've been doing this for how long?
Since 2017, so 5 years.
Okay. And I know that your company is very successful. And I also know that you have a book that is very successful. And so tell us about this book, The Pyramid of Trust, correct?
Yes, The Pyramid of Trust. So basically, long story, go back to my backstory. My parents died by the time I was 21. So I had to build from nothing all the way up to get into the US from the UK. My dream was to live in the US and leave the UK. I don't like the UK. So a lot of people love it. I think it's great for tourism, not to live, personally, but that's my opinion. But with that, what happened is I made lost a lot of money. I lost millions of dollars. I had to start from scratch again. Made millions, lost it again. So I was like, okay, what is the one thing that I have that no one else has? Or what did my friends who made billions who have lost it and made it back again. Like one of my friends, he made billions twice, three times in 5 years and lost it twice. And one thing I studied was, what is the one thing that enables someone? A lot of people talk about mindset and everything else. I think people were unhappy marriages, drunk, drugs, or everything. They still made it. The worst mindsets ever, and they still make billions or millions of dollars. So I'm like, that's not the secret. The secret is going to be something else. And what I found it was, is the ability to instill trust, make people follow your vision. Whether that's a client, or whether that is a relationship, or whether that's employees, they have to be able to command a lot of trust in order to make things move in the right direction towards their vision.
So I know we don't want to give away too much of the book, because people should buy this book, but what would you say are your top tips in terms of how to build trust, how to have somebody trust you in an authentic way?
To me, the first thing is about consistency, right? Consistency of showing up in a way that no one else shows up and being creative. My favorite book in marketing is called Get Different. Also, the second one will be Purple Cow. The way, if you're not different, you're going to blend in with everyone else. You're not going to stand out, and therefore you're going to lose it. The hardest thing in marketing is to grab attention. If you can grab attention, and then you can get the opportunities, as I said, you can keep that trust. You can start now going forward. It's like even the blue check on social media, people only want it because it lets you get into the inboxes and people see it, we're going to reply to you. That's what it's really good for, more than anything.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about that blue check. It's so fascinating because I remember when we spoke about a month ago, we were talking about this blue check, and it's so crazy because years ago, nobody cared about, like, what was a blue check? There was no Instagram, there was no Facebook. It's a blue check, but it really makes a difference.
Yes, it does. It makes a tremendous difference because it's like a status. People always buy or make decisions based on status. That's what I've found. People buy, well, see status in different ways. Status isn't built just on financial. It can be built by association, basically. Status is by being in Forbes or being on CNN is one form of status. Another one is, who's your partner? Do they dress well? The clothes you buy or the watches you wear, is that, or jewelry you wear, is another way of form of status. Status comes in so many different forms. The best way I like to put it is, if you look at college, people want to go to the Ivy League. Why? It's the status of being in Ivy League, and also the networking.
Yes. And when we were talking about how your net work is your net worth. And yeah. I think there's a lot of truth in that, but it doesn't have to, because some people might think that it's a superficial thing, but it's not, because these are people that are working hard. So you want to be surrounding yourself with these go-getters. It's not necessarily all about money. It's about living a certain lifestyle and giving back and being in service also.
Well, for me, I like the way I see status. It gives me the options. Like, a lot of people talk about creating a business or something for freedom. I actually probably say I have less freedom the more money I make, but I get more options in my life. For me, it's all about options. I want to be able to pick and choose what I want in my life. Even if it means I give up certain things. You want something, you can give up something else. It's the way, it's the laws of nature. But I want to be able to choose what I give up or not give up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, options. I like that. See, that sets you apart. You're the purple pick. Because you're right. People say money is freedom. And I love that you're adding the spin to it, that it's actually options. I like that. And what's coming to me about that is, it's this abundance mode versus scarcity and lack mode. Because when you're in scarcity and lack mode, you don't feel like you have options. You feel like you do things out of fear versus this abundance mode, options mode. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, like sometimes I do certain deals, I will lower my profit margins in my other business where I can get money more immediately because I need it immediately. And that gives me the option to now decide how I want to make a different investment. So I rather have options versus freedom.
I love it. That's your next book, Options versus Freedom.
Actually, I might make it a book. That's a good one, I see.
See, we're working together. Yeah. Okay, so as I was telling everybody, I have never spoken to a man who has the most unique, genuine, authentic ways of treating a lady to make her feel special. So I want you to share with our audience, what are some things that you do, and you are in a current relationship, what are some things that you do for your lady currently that you've done in the past that you're going to continue to do to make her feel special and to build that trust, that authenticity, that connection in your relationship?
So my first thing I like to do is order flowers every week, a bouquet of 50 flowers with blooms every single time.
Amazing.
If I do that every week, it's consistency. And you can put it even, like, you don't have to even put the effort in. You can literally just tell the florist, hey, I want to pay for 4 weeks up front, get it every week at this time. They'll do it for you. You can negotiate. Again, it's all about options. All you can do is just message them every week. I personally message them every week because I like to create a new message every single week based on how relations appear.
That was my question. Do you give a specific, creative, authentic message every week?
I do.
You do.
That's my favorite thing to do, is I like to give an authentic message. She actually likes the message more than the flowers. And I like to give it the flowers first because it makes them more receptive and feel loved. And then when she sees the message, it hits deeper.
Okay, so you're big into flowers and balloons at the same time, same delivery?
Yeah. They're actually right there, the heart-shaped balloons.
Heart-shaped balloons. Did you say they're over there?
Yeah, well, let's see them.
Let's see them.
All right, yeah. I can see like two of them.
Oh. And what day, do you have a specific day that these things are delivered?
No, I will order it based on different days every week because I don't want to predict. So I'll take it every month even. I don't like it to be predictable, but if you think you're going to have a hard time to make it variety and thing, then just fine, just do it that way. But I like to do it different days just so you never expect when you're going to get it.
And do you feel like her gratefulness level is high? Like she expresses
it's improved our relationship drastically, that has.
Say that again.
It's improved the relationship drastically.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, it's not just about gratitude, it's also about becoming essential. My entire theory in life is if you're not essential, you're replaceable. I mean, there's not many people that can go out and do the extra mile. It's not even about going the extra mile, but going so far for the other person that no one else will ever do it for you.
Yes. So my parents have been married for over 51 years, and this is something that I believe that they both do for each other. They value each other. They make each other feel special, and they want each other to be so happy. And it seems like you have this in your current relationship.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and it's that the going the extra mile, doing the extra thing, being creative, not just sending flowers or receiving flowers and having it say, thanks for being great.
No, let's give a genuine compliment to make it work best. And
yeah,
that the difference between flattery and compliment, one is intention, as people think, but the difference is connecting it to someone they can relate to, because then it becomes receptive.
Let's talk about receptivity. That's your third book, or maybe your second book. Oh my God. I mean, we talked about for at least 30 minutes about receptivity. That's your thing. Let's talk about it.
Okay. So when you, for example, I did a lot of cold calling in my other business, my medical business. That's the best way to drum up business in that business. And I realized when I'm picking up the phone cold calling and people can say it doesn't work, it's made me millions of dollars that it has. Right? And people are like, how do you make millions of dollars of cold calling? It might not seem thing, but it's about making people want to listen and be open and building curiosity. The secret in life for receptivity is all about curiosity. If someone gets curious, they become, the guard comes down, the wall of resistance comes down. Life is about resistance. So one of my favorite books is called The War of Art. Not The Art of War, but The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And it talks about resistance in life in general. So I knew when I read that book and was doing cold calling, regardless, and you can take business to relationship, from relationship to business, it's all about resistance. If I can bring down that resistance, it'll become much more receptive. Everything comes a lot easier.
Okay, so you're breaking down walls.
Yes.
And then people are more receptive. Specifically in your relationship, you break down the wall.
You got to break down the wall in the relationship even, because when you break down the wall in the relationship, what happens is people then are willing to listen to what you have to say, like in an argument. Most of the time, people clash heads and they're not willing to settle. So for me, what I prefer to do is go for a walk for a bit, come back and clear my head, and then talk in a much more neutral tone. Tonality is so important because you can say the same thing and it can mean something completely different the way you say it. And therefore, when you do that, if you say it the wrong way, even if you mean something well, it's going to go down wrong and it's taken as wrong, and therefore it's going to go completely different.
Yes. And along these lines, I always say that it's about judgment. If you are judging, the other person is not going to be receptive. But if you just say, this is how I'm feeling, then the other person, yes, of course, in an immature way, they could say, you shouldn't feel that way or don't feel that way. But a mature person would say, okay, I hear you and I see you and I validate how you're feeling and what you need to say. Versus if you go to somebody with a judgment, you're a horrible person, you did this, you did that, then they're going to be defensive and not receptive.
I'm going to actually take it one step further about judgment. I would say people are always very judgmental. Everyone judges every decision we make regardless of what we do or don't do, and every message and everything we say. The difference is, do we accept it or do we condemn it? The condemnation is the problem, not judgment.
Okay. Okay, I hear you. So you're saying acceptance is a big thing. And I totally agree. Actually, acceptance is the first, what I've heard is acceptance is the first law of spirituality. It is really important in our own lives and in our relationships to accept. So I love that you're saying that. I do believe, so, and I also hear what you're saying about how as humans, we tend to judge. However, I do believe that with some practice and some training ourselves, yes, what you're saying is we might in the moment at first make a snap judgment, but I do believe that if we catch ourselves, we can get into more of a loving mode versus a judgment.
Right, what I'm saying is judging and condemning is slightly different. We all have to
make a
decision of whether we're going to embrace it or we're going to reject it. So to me, right, like the way I would put it is like we all would judge like, oh, we don't like you doing certain things, or we judge the way we smell. But do we accept the person's smell or do we reject the person's smell? Like, for example, going back to the gym and you don't really shower, you're not going to like the smell. You're going to condemn that smell or you're going to tell them to go shower. But it's this thing. It's a judgment, but it's not really the judgment of the issue. It's condemning them. We're condemning what we don't like or rejecting what we don't like, mm-hmm. if you want to put it that way.
Right. And a relationship where there's rejection, like you're condemning somebody, there's contempt, there's resentment. Those are all very low vibrational energy things that a relationship will literally, it will crumble. Or it won't, and two people will be miserable for the rest of their lives. So that's why I help people to, and it sounds like you do a wonderful job of this, to get very aware. Am I having trouble accepting? If you're having trouble accepting and you don't see yourself ever accepting this person, who they are, what they bring to the table, then there's no way that it can be a successful relationship.
Yeah, you can't. You have to accept. Like, a lot of people go into relationships with, how to put it, with an idea. I always say they have a fantasy that they fall in love with. They don't choose to validate the idea fully. If you don't validate the idea, how are you going to know what you really want? And you need to know your deal breaker, because you need to know what you're going to reject. For example, I have certain deal breakers. Like, and this is fine for me. It doesn't work for me. For example, I got weak lungs when it comes to cigarettes for some reason. I've been around, my friends were smoking. I had to stop being hanging around when we were smoking. It makes me cough really badly, and it gives me like almost an asthma. I can do, being minus 30, I'm fine. I literally had my doctor test this as well. And literally, I have functional medicine, doctors test everything for me, so I got my baseline KPI. For some reason, when I have my cigarettes, I end up really having a problem with coughing. So a deal breaker to me is cigarettes. Well, other people wouldn't be a big deal, and that's fine. Everyone has their own reasons. But then for another one, for example, a deal breaker for me, this is my deal breaker, regardless of cheating. I will never accept cheating, which is up to other people. But for me, everything else, like in the past, I don't care. Like a lot of things, like I will look over most criminal things. Not that my partner has that, but the point is, I don't care about most things. It's like people make mistakes when we're younger. We experiment, we do things, we make mistakes. There's very few things I would probably condemn if you're talking about a criminal, even along the lines of crime.
Wait, so you're saying that someone can be, if they could have been in jail, but as long as they don't cheat on you, you're cool.
It depends what I'm in jail for. Like, it depends on the age as well when we did it and what the circumstances were. Not everything is so black and white, because what if it was really struggling and we had a hard time, or we got fined or something else? There's so many things that we don't know about the situation.
Right.
So okay. To me, I don't bait judgments. I will accept a lot. I'm very accepting. I'm also very cautious. I want to get the entire story and picture. If you're not accepting and you're going to make someone feel like you're going to condemn them, they're not going to open up. You never get the full story. You have to be very open-minded in order to really understand the full story, so you can decide, do I really want to allow this or not?
And what's coming to me right now is all about shame. When you're saying condemning, I'm thinking shame. And for anybody to feel shame, it's probably one of the worst feelings in the whole world. And a lot of people have done a lot of work on themselves to not feel shame. And then if you enter into a relationship where the person that you're with is making you feel shame about anything and trying to make you feel bad about yourself, that's just not conducive to happiness, to a happy, loving, supportive, unconditionally loving relationship.
And I don't think you should be in a relationship if you can't accept their worst. Like, a lot of people, like, you have to accept me at their worst. You need to accept them for what they were at their worst. You need to be your best self for this person, and you need to love them for the 5 love languages. We're humans with needs. We all have human needs, all have love language needs, right? We may have dominant love languages that we want to be loved through, but we still want to be loved through all 5 love languages. So with the 5 love languages, it's like, the way we receive things, the way you're going to receive one love language is going to be different from how someone else receives it. And it's about learning to meet the needs, make them feel comfortable, make them feel safe, show them love through the 5 love languages every day. You can do that because they may not cheat on you, but they're going to find that love elsewhere, whether that's a family or a friend or someone else. Mm-hmm. And you can call it an emotional affair if you want to. Some people go through that way, but never have a physical affair. To me, you really have yourself to blame most of the time if you that person's having an affair. Because either you made a poor judgment where you knew that person probably going to act in that way regardless, or you didn't really meet the person's needs because you were too busy distracted in your own self, versus trying to focus on unity and harmony together.
So speaking of love languages, I'm so happy you brought them up, because as you were talking about the flowers and the balloons before, I was thinking about love languages and gifts. So what would you say is your strongest? Would it be gifts?
My strongest love language for me to receive personally is touch. But for me to give, is actually, so my partner, she likes acts of service the most.
Acts of service, okay. And then what's your girlfriend's?
No, hers is acts of service, mine is touch.
Oh, hers is acts of service and yours is
touch.
But what about gifts? You obviously like gifts.
I like to do all 5 as well. So when I design gifts, I try to personalize it and I try to make it an experiences as well. So you can do acts of service by, for example, a massage is also going to be a gift. You can set the massage up and you can set something else up with dinner as well. So you can create quality time. And you can set that date up also with, what's it called? Aside from gifts. You can also organize stuff like with the house is getting cleaned or laundry getting done while you're away. Call it home and clean or a personal thing, a shop or whatever you want to do. You can create and stack multiple love languages together called stacking. So you can stack multiple love languages in a day in one process and flow naturally, and it will be so easy.
What's coming to me right now, or just about this whole umbrella of love languages and that you want to incorporate all of them, is that you are very conscious and aware of prioritizing your relationship and prioritizing the person that you're in the relationship with, which I think a lot of people lack. Like, I have this thing where I say the most important, it's ATV, it's authenticity, trust, and valuing each other. And the value, that's what this, it, like, this is, you preach and you teach and you are showing to value who you are with and to make them feel valued.
Well, the way I said it earlier is about priority. Well, you said it better than I did. Priority is one, but it's also about meeting the needs. If you don't meet the needs, like, I have a lot of friends, including myself, actually, made a lot of money, ended up divorced. Why? Because we made everything sacrifice to build this, what we think is the ideal lifestyle, to be able to take care of our partner at the time. And in the process, you don't spend time, quality time, which I think is one of the most important things. You don't have a common goal, common values anymore. Because the process of running a multi-million-dollar business or billion-dollar business changes as you go up the scale in business. It's going to change. Your value is going to change. Your friendship's going to change because of the values. A lot of people think that money changes who you are. And a lot of other people say that money will reveal who you are. But I actually think your values only change based on the circumstances and experiences you go through. And it's not about money. It's the experiences that you go through when you use that money is actually going to change who you are and the values that you're going to have.
Yes. And ideally, when you have more money, like I was saying, being of service, you will be philanthropic and you will give back. You won't all of a sudden become more greedy or cockier, condescending.
Yeah. Hopefully you won't. And then also, here's the other problem with there's more stress. Like, when you get more of something, there's always going to come more of something else come with it. You got a better relationship, there's going to be more friends are going to be jealous of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just people don't realize, like, people are not actually that happy in their relationship generally. So when they see someone very happy, they get jealous and they can actually sabotage. It's this really weird, funny thing.
Yes. And that's why, I mean, just as a spiritual thing, we need to protect our energy, protect ourselves. And I love when we spoke briefly before, you were just saying that you're a private person. I think that that is brilliant. I think it's really important to keep our relationships sacred and to protect them. So I think it's wonderful. And at the same time, it is wonderful when people are very open on social media and they're vulnerable and everything. But I think that there is a fine line. Like, there are certain things that you do want to keep sacred and special.
I think not to keep it sacred and special. I think it's also about protecting your energy. Spending time is energy that you can, it's about energy management. And I value energy more than most people value it. So it's like, even when you travel, like, a lot of people are like, Amy, why do you spend so much money in hotels? I'm like, it's because of the energy of the hotel, even the suites. I would pay $100, $200 to the staff at the front desk, again, upgrade to the nicer suite, and maybe a nicer room, because then it's just, the energy is different.
Yes. Oh, my God. So would you say you're an HSP, highly sensitive person?
Yes and no. So I'm highly sensitive to the people I care about, and I'm highly sensitive to energy. I can feel energy very strongly, like in a mile radius. I can feel pretty much everyone's energy. Yeah. Before the earthquake hit where I was at a couple of weeks ago, I knew it was going to hit. I just slept through the earthquake, and I just literally ate my food the other time it hit. I'm like, there's no point. Like, everyone normally panics when they can feel things going to happen. For me, yes, I feel it. But I also calculate very quickly. Like, because I'm on the ninth floor out of 14 floors, I'm like, with the earthquake, if I jump out the building, I'm going to break my legs. With the earthquake. If I go in the elevator, it's going to collapse and I'm going to go all the way to the bottom, I'm dead. If I go up the stairs and the thing collapses, I'm going to the bottom. And if I go down the stairs, I've got more weight on me. I might just stay here for a couple of minutes. Like, you just got to relax in the moment and trust your intuition, is what I would say. Mm-hmm. My intuition and my brain work together, and I think very quickly, like, what is the best course of action for survival? And I've got to trust my intuition.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. I'm all about intuition. 100%. It's my favorite topic. Okay. We have a few more minutes. When's your birthday?
July.
Did we talk? Are you a Cancer?
Yes.
Okay. I think we talked about that already. Not surprised. It's amazing. One more thing, and then I want you to tell everybody how they can find you. Can you please talk about the food that you deliver to your girlfriend every day?
Wait, what did I do?
What?
So I didn't hear you.
The food delivery.
Oh, yeah. So when she was in a different country, what happened is how I was going to compete with everyone who wanted her attention and caught her when I'm not there to take her out. So what I designed it was, and I do this anyways now, is I order her food every single day. Whenever she was hungry, she was tasting hungry, I'd order her food because I knew what she liked. And it made me stand at the top of mind. It's like, you're at the top of mind. It's awareness. And it's also taking care of her needs. You make it feel secure. And then the day, again, talking about receptivity. If you're hungry, we call it hangry a lot of the time, you're not going to be as receptive. But when you are full, happy, you become much more receptive. And when you show consistency, not just one time, but constantly and consistently, what happens is you're making the person feel wanted, needed, and taking care of their needs. And then the day, it's biological. We want both men and women. I don't care what any guy said. It's true. Men will be taken care of as well. Like, you go back to the let's call it caveman times or ancient times. After the battles or hunting and stuff, they were tired. They wanted rest and to be looked after. Like, the more money I make, the thing I actually value the most is the home-cooked meal. That's the funniest mm-hmm. thing. Like, I don't care for the watches, the private jets. I do it sometimes, but it's not what I care about. Like, people buy me stuff, I don't care about it. But a home-cooked meal goes way more for me. And it's about taking care of the needs and making it personal and something you need to swing you in that person.
Well, food, people say food is love. And I know that when I cook for my husband and my son and they say thank you, it's usually my husband that will say, okay, Noah, let's say thank you. It really warms my heart because it's a win-win for everybody. They're enjoying this food that I put love into and I get to feel so happy that I made them happy and feel loved.
Yeah, it's about making them feel loved. And it's about, again, like, when you order someone food as well, now this is more of a darker side to it, but I'm going to say the thing, is they become, how to put it, is the right word, they want to reciprocate. So what I don't want things back. What I prefer is the idea of having quality time. quality. So my love language, it goes touch, acts of service, and quality time are equal these two. So love is first, and these two are equal. And then I don't know what fourth. I don't really care about words of affirmation gifts too much. But these two is what I care about. So I would ask for quality time while she would enjoy her food, and we'll just do things together, something small. And you build that bond and connection. Like food, is it normally when you're in person, you eat together, you spend time together to connect. So for me, I'm like, look, when you're eating, I'll just sit with you and we enjoy. Like we haven't.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Breaking bread together.
Yeah.
And just another example of how, like, if my husband does the dishes, it's that same thing where does the loads the dishwasher, unloads it. It just makes me feel taken care of. Or if he's at Whole Foods and he's FaceTiming me at the deli counter with all the different things, it's such a little thing, but I'll be like, yeah, I'll take some chicken salad or that pasta salad. And then it's thoughtful. And so anyhow, yeah, and it keeps going. And then you want to do more for them, they want to do more for you, blah, blah, et cetera. It's a cycle.
Yeah, it's about creating that cycle or continue, because it's very easy to get off the cycle. You can break the cycle so quickly that you drift apart, right? The secret is not to drift. And the way you don't drift is that one of my favorite quotes is this: where energy goes, where attention is. If you don't give the partners the attention that they need, some people will need more attention and more energy than others. And that's fine. You're going to learn to manage what is it that can work for you, the healthy equilibrium, not balance, because there's no such thing as balance. Sometimes I'm working more hours and have less time with my partner. Other times I get more time with her and take more time off. Like for this next week, I'm busy tomorrow, like all day. I got like 18 hours worth of calls to do. But on Saturday, I'm with her the whole time.
So yes, equilibrium
as well. It's not about balance. Like sometimes I get any time of the day. So other times I will find ways to make up things and give her love for different ways.
I love it. But you're being thoughtful and prioritizing. Okay. So we are out of time. Please. How can people find you? Website, Instagram, etc.
You can find me on Instagram, or my website is Immy Tarik, literally IMMYTARIQ. And that's it.
Okay. Perfect. And thank you so much for joining us. Everybody can always find me at therelationshipexpert.com. Thank you again. You're amazing. And this is a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You're extraordinary. Okay. And everybody, please join us every week at Love Talk Live on LA Talk Radio, 2 p.m. Pacific on Mondays. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.